Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive head of the NICD and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Professor Shoup, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm not surprised, Prof. You must have been on radio stations, you name it, all day, every day. So I get where the mistake is coming from. And you must almost be tired of talking about the Delta variant, but I'm sorry, we've got to do it one more time.
Yeah, let me wind up. I think we started off yesterday describing where it came from and how it spread, what it is. I think we talked about the other variants and that this Delta variant, each one has got their own nasty trait. And this Delta variant, its trait is its transmissibility. It's interesting. They've actually pinpointed in the virus itself. It just shows you how sophisticated our virology has become in 2021. They actually pinpointed which mutations in that spike protein governs its transmissibility. There are two in the receptor binding site and there's one in the cleavage site. I won't go into the details, obviously, but they kind of govern the fact that it is so highly transmissible, probably double the transmissibility of the original viruses and about 50% to 60% more transmissible than the Beta. Now, because of that, there's actually some very practical implications. You know, all the kind of the prevention measures that we had before, all the precautions that we need to take about distancing and so on, it's just that's much more rigorous now because of this high transmissibility. The other thing which they've really found is that aerosols, you know, when we got this cloud of moist air around us while we're talking singing and speaking and shouting and so on, there are large particles and these little aerosols which remain suspended in the air for quite a few hours. And this Delta virus can survive in these aerosols for quite a period of time. So we really got to be very, very careful with this particular virus and all the precautions we need to kind of double down and do it much more strongly than we did before. So clinically, is it different? Well, you know, it is a coronavirus, so it produced the same kind of disease as the other variants did, as the Beta variant and the Alpha variant and so on. There are a little bit of differences. The headache, the sore throat, the runny nose, that's kind of cold-like, flu-y symptoms, that seem to be more kind of pronounced with the Delta variant. And things like the fever and the loss of taste and smell, that seem to be less common. It might just be a manifestation that this virus is affecting younger people more frequently than the previous variant. But probably because it is more contagious. It is kind of penetrating to a larger population base. And of course, the kind of big question, is it more serious? That we don't really know at the moment. The data, and most of the data comes from the United Kingdom, because they've had most of the experience with this Delta, obviously other than India, which is first isolated. But the publications coming from the United Kingdom haven't yet shown that it's more serious, that it's going to cause more severe disease, more hospitalization, more mortality, and so on. But the one difference seems to be that is affecting younger people. Now, of course, the main question which everybody wants to know is vaccines. Do the vaccines work as well with a Delta, or is it another problem other than the transmissibility? So, yeah, there's a little bit of a kind of positivity in that the vaccines do seem to work better with the Delta variant as compared to our previous Beta variant. Our Beta variant, its main characteristic was its resistance to the vaccines. The Delta seems to be more sensitive. Even lesser potent vaccines like the AstraZeneca also seem to be quite effective against Delta. This is shown in the United Kingdom. But the vaccines that we use, the Pfizer vaccine, if you're looking at how effective it is in preventing any disease, in other words, even mild disease, but a disease which got symptoms, infection with symptoms, after a single dose is not that effective, about 33% to prevent any disease.
Yeah.
But after two doses, 88%, so considerably more. And then if you look at hospitalization, severe disease, because this is really what we kind of want to prevent, there the Pfizer, after a single dose already, is very effective, 94% effective. And with two doses, 95%, a little bit more. The Johnson & Johnson will have to wait. At this stage, there isn't data because they're not using it to any extent in, for example, the United Kingdom or in India. So the local data and also some data from the States will be published fairly shortly, but the preliminary data from, for example, laboratory studies and so on, show it to probably be at least as effective as the Pfizer vaccine. So both the vaccines that we use, the Pfizer vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson, seem to be pretty effective, very effective if it's going to prevent severe disease, 94% to 95%, and also pretty good with two doses, 88%, for any disease. So in that sense, we are a little bit better off. But the problem, of course, is that we've got to really be so careful now with this highly transmissible variant.
Hear you loud and clear, and also hear you, Prof, that the Pfizer at 88%, if you have a choice, definitely sounding better than the J&J.
No, J&J, we don't have the data yet. Sorry.
I misunderstood. I thought data, but I assumed that it was not nearly as effective as the Pfizer vaccine. So that's incorrect. We're still
waiting for that data. That's slow to come. It's probably going to be as effective.
Interesting and good news. Nice way to leave it this afternoon, Prof. We'll chat again tomorrow. Thanks for your input as always.
Thanks, Simon.